Come, Holy Spirit, and visit us. Come, Holy Spirit, and pray in us. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts may be acceptable to you, O God. Amen. Now, I can't think of a more effective way of introducing a word than through a story. So I'm going to offer a personal story that helps us to appreciate the meaning of the word audacious, or it helps me to appreciate it. Maybe you already appreciate it, but I think this is a good story, so I hope you at least get a chuckle. So it was our first year in North Bay, and I felt so confident on this warm summer night. The stars were visible, the skies were clear, the moon was full and round and bright, and I influenced my husband to go for a walk with me to the beach because I wanted to have a swim. And I was wearing a t-shirt and a pair of shorts, and he didn't take me seriously. So I sauntered excitedly, tugging him along, off to the lake. He thought I would splash around on the shore, but I was really mesmerized by the beauty, by God's love reflected in the moonlight and the stars, and I just ran into that water. And I waited and floated and you know, I tried to stay on the path of the moonlight. I felt love. I felt joyfully swept up in the moment. I felt seen in God's light. It was the best feeling of my life. And I was not afraid, which was surprising because I had a drowning accident in my late teens. I just felt loved. My spouse, on the other hand, scolded me for giving him the scare of his life. He was on the shore and, you know, walking back and forth trying to make sure he could see where I was. And I'm sorry for that. But I had the best dreams ever that night. I just felt so close to God. Would I do it again? I'm undecided. We can decide together at the end of the sermon. Audacious is defined as intrepidly daring. Intrepidly daring love. And I think it gives us permission to have intrepidly daring faith. I think the definition applies to my story, but I think the definition applies to our understanding of God revealed in Jesus Christ. The incarnation of Jesus Christ is God's intrepidly daring love to reveal God's self as a human, as one of us, who entered fully into life, all of life experiences, the hard ones, the feelings of rejection, the feelings of great joy, the scandal of death on a cross. I can think of no greater love. Today's scripture, I argue that Jesus is revealing to us God's intrepidly daring love. He's revealing to us how God responds to our prayers with greater fidelity than a friend and more faithfully than a loving parent, because parents are loving and faithful, and parents are vulnerable. They're human. They make mistakes. They are sin prone. The prayer form that Jesus gives comes in the text before this teaching. Jesus gives the Lord's Prayer that clearly says that God wants to give to us this kingdom. God wants to give to us God's kingdom. And some authors suggest to us that this couplet of teaching stories were given or taught at a different time, and that they were brought together in this segment of Luke because it all points to God's kingdom. What God wants to give us is God's kingdom. That's the gift. The kingdom of God encompasses both a spiritual realm where God is sovereign and a future reality where God's will is perfectly fulfilled on earth. This includes loving God, loving one's neighbor, seeking justice for the oppressed, extending forgiveness and mercy. Jesus wants us to know that God's love for us is much more than we could possibly imagine. And out of that love, God wants to give us the very best that God could give us, which is the kingdom. Jesus is saying that if a buddy would yield to the outlandish request of a scandalous friend at midnight, providing what he needs, how much more? A God who loves us and invests in us by giving of himself and becoming one with us, how much more would God give us the kingdom of God? Jesus goes on to say that if a parent who is vulnerable gives good gifts to their children, wouldn't give a scorpion if their child were hungry, he'd give him an egg, he'd give him something good to eat. How much more would our Heavenly Father provide the best gift of all, the third person, the Holy Spirit, to direct us to God's plan, God's kingdom value, God's very best. God, through the Spirit, wants to give us the very best gifts that align with the kingdom of God. And we should not be surprised that Jesus identifies the very best gift as the Holy Spirit, because we are reading the Gospel of Luke. And the Gospel of Luke is part of a two-part work, Luke, Acts. And Luke, from the very beginning, talks about the Holy Spirit appearing to Mary, announcing the birth of her son. And so, God will not deny us the Holy Spirit. Jesus wants us to know that. Jesus is very clear to us, saying these words, "So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened." I want to say that Jesus is not guaranteeing that we will always get what we want. He is saying that we will always get what we truly need. And sometimes we cannot perceive those needs. Many times we simply don't know, because we have our limitations, we have our biases, we have our perceptions, we have our blind spots. The kingdom of God, the reign of God, is broader than we can imagine. The parameters exceed our assumptions about the answer to our prayers. That does not mean that we can't prayerfully discern what we believe we need and present it to God. Of course we can. But God's answer to our prayer often surprises us. And we look back and we realize that was exactly what I needed in the moment. It's not what I prayed for, but it's what I needed. Sometimes the most faithful response we can offer is, I don't know, but I trust you. Here's what I'm feeling, here's what I need. As humans, God's design sometimes baffles us. I think of the puzzling incident in the Gospel of John, where Jesus delays his travel, allowing Lazarus to die and be buried. You probably have heard the story. It's found in the latter part of John. It's pretty close to the time when Jesus himself dies. It makes Mary and Martha wonder why Jesus appeared so late. It makes the disciples wonder why. It makes the whole community wonder why. It makes us wonder why when we study the story in Bible study. Jesus responds to a greater need, revealing to all who gathered at the tomb and those who later received the sign that he is the resurrection and the life. That's what he's doing. He's revealing that he is the resurrection and the life. And so he raises Lazarus. God appointed Jesus to fulfill this sign. There are things that we will never understand, and yet we trust. Especially when we're going through a difficult season in our lives. It's so easy to become overwhelmed by our suffering. I have a story for you by Pete Gregg. Pete Gregg, the creator of the prayer course, which is produced by the Church of England, illustrates God's response in a very poignant way that I think parents can relate to. He remembers the experience of trying to comfort his two-year-old son when he had chicken pox. His entire body was covered by these red, itchy spots. And he was just sobbing his heart out, crying his heart out. Pete says, explaining to him that it was only temporary or that getting it at this young age would ensure future immunity was lost on a two-year-old. The sick child had no capacity to comprehend what was happening to him. So he just cried his heart out, and Pete did what he could do, which was to hold his son and comfort him and maybe rub a little bit of calamine lotion. We are sometimes that two-year-old, crying our hearts out because we're feeling hurt, we're feeling pain, we're feeling disappointment, that we have no capacity to understand. And God just holds us close and loves us. God is there to be with us in the moment, pointing us to God's creative hope. Jesus promises us the Holy Spirit. Jesus assures us that God, our Heavenly Father, God, our great parent, God who is closer than our dearest friend, will not deny us what we need. We approach God who reveals himself through an expression of intrepidly daring love, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who came and lived among us and died a scandalous death. And in his rising, we experience new life. We experience hope. Hope fulfilled through God's power, through the Holy Spirit. I hope that you will join me and proverbially immerse yourself in the vastness of God's love. That you will find delight in the light of God's love. That you will search out that path and experience the empowerment of the Holy Spirit that helps us to overcome our fears and to ground ourselves in the confidence that God is invested in our needs and God knows our needs, our true needs. And perhaps you might be moved to echo the words of Benjamin W. Hastings and Michael Brandon Lake's gratitude, echoing an hallelujah, praising God. Glory to God for his faithfulness, for his Son, Jesus Christ, who reassures us of how much more our Father in heaven loves us and gives us the Holy Spirit. How much more our Father in heaven wants to reveal to us the gifts of his kingdom. And the people of God say, Amen.